Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, we started this series, Resolution. We started it last week, and we kind of all acknowledged something, that January is typically the season of self-improvement. This is typically the time of year where we begin to ask some questions about ourselves. You know, how can I get better? How can I get stronger? How can I get smarter? How can I get thinner? How can I get out of debt? How can I do all these things to make me better? Right? It's what you do. It's what I do. It's what we've kind of been taught to do. It's what New Year's resolutions are all about. We basically ask this question, what should I do about me? Right? We all ask this question. What should I do about me? But last week, I kind of introduced an idea. What if this year, what if for 2016, instead of just asking the question, what should I do about me, what if you asked a bigger, better, broader question? And the fact of the matter is, many of you are here today, many of you are at this church because someone in your life asked this question. If you ever had anybody do anything kind for you, if you ever had anyone help you when you were down and out, if you ever had anybody kind of step up and sacrifice something for you, it's because they asked this bigger, broader, better question that I think we all should ask in 2016. And the question is this: what should I do around me? See, they looked around. They saw somebody who was hurting. They saw somebody who was down and out. They saw somebody who needed help. And they stepped up and helped. They looked outside of themselves. And they asked, what could they do around themselves to make a difference? And last week, we actually were introduced to a man named Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a leader in the Old Testament. And what we learned last week is that Nehemiah did this very same thing. Nehemiah heard some news, and he was very bothered by that news. He was made very sad by that news. It hurt him. It broke his heart. And so he felt something. Many of you feel things. Right, you hear news you don't like, you see things, you see injustices, and you feel things. But the thing that made Nehemiah stand out wasn't that he felt something. What made Nehemiah stand out was that he did something about how he felt. So what we're going to talk about today is what we should do because of how we feel. But you can't take feeling out of it. Feeling matters. Feeling is important, which is why we're focusing on one question. We talked about it last week. We're talking about it this week. We'll talk about it again next week. It is the core of this entire series. And the question is this: what breaks your heart? It starts with a feeling. What breaks your heart? When you look around our community, when you look at your kids' schools, when you look at your workplace, when you drive through your neighborhood, what breaks your heart? When you watch the news, what's that one story about what's going on over in Asia, or going over in Africa, or going over in Europe? What is that one story that you hear and you just can't shake? And you just say, man, somebody should do something about this. Like, really, something should be done. And maybe you've even done a little research about it and you've discovered how daunting of a task it is and how hard it's going to be to solve. And like, you're right on the cusp. Like, it bothers you so much, but it doesn't bother you enough for you to do something about it. It bothers you a lot, but there's something holding you back from doing something. And whether you can put this to words or not, what's holding you back is that you know inherently, whether you can even say it out loud, you know that to do something about what bothers you is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you your weeknights. It's going to cost you some money. It might even cost you some relationships. There might be some things you have to cut back on. It's going to cost you some recreation. It's going to cost you some leisure. We know if we actually want to do something to help somebody else, it's going to cost us something. Ultimately, it will cost us some life. We just know it. We know that ultimately it's going to cost us some life. And human beings by nature, you're this way, I'm this way, we're all this way, we don't typically like to give our life away. If anything, we are typically life savers. We are life preservers. We seek to do everything we can to keep our life. You know, it's why every time they pass the sign up around for snacks, you pretend like you didn't see it. It's why when the teacher at your kid's school asks for to be a room mom or a room dad, you don't respond. It's why when the HOA asks for volunteers to be on the HOA, you don't respond. You complain about what they do, but it doesn't break your heart enough to do anything about it. Because you know if you do, you're going to have to give up some nights. It's going to cost you some life. We typically like to keep and hold on to our life. But here's the dilemma. It is impossible to change someone else's life without giving away some of yours. It's not possible to hold on to your life completely and still make a difference, still make a change, still make an impact in somebody else's life. And that's not just because I say so. It's not just because it's convenient. It's because Jesus says so. Jesus was on earth for 3 years. And, I mean, I'm sorry, he was on earth for 33 years. He was some of you are like, wait, that's not right. He was a public minister for 3 years, and he taught for 3 years. And we have recorded what he taught, and he taught a lot about this issue. He taught a lot about giving yourself away. He taught a lot about what to do when things cost you some life, what to do. And here's what he taught. He taught, like, look, if you make it all about you, you're going to regret it. If you make it all about you, if everything you do centers on you and everything you do revolves around you at the end of your life, you're not going to be as satisfied as you think you would. You can kind of take all Jesus' teachings and kind of summarize them this way. When he talks about ourself and how we should view it towards other people and if it's okay to give some life away or if we should hold our life for ourselves, here's what he says. He says, whoever devotes themselves to themselves will have nothing but themselves to show for themselves. He basically says, look, at the end of your life, if all you've done is made it all about you and made it all about what you can earn and all about what you can build and all about how you can improve, and you've never given any of your life away, at the end of your life, all you're going to have to show for it is yourself. And for some of you, you're like, that doesn't sound that bad. I'm okay with that. But here's the problem. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says at the end of your life, Jesus says it's not me. At the end of your life, if all you have to show for it is yourself, Jesus says your life is a total and complete loss. He says it's as if it never happened. That it's completely and totally worthless. Now, you may not understand why he would say that yet, and it really may not even bother you yet. But what I want to do is I want to take you directly to Jesus. I want to take you to two of his teachings, both to large crowds. Because what he does in these teachings is he explains why this matters. And he explains why you and me and all of us, if we really want to get serious about following him, and if we really want to get serious about seeing him use us to change the world, if we really want to see him get serious about making a difference in some of the things that break our heart, we have to be willing to give some of our life away. It can't be all about us. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke is the third biography we have of Jesus' life. Luke was one of Jesus' closest followers. He was a disciple. He was an eyewitness. He writes all these things down. And what Luke tells us is one day Jesus is teaching to a really large crowd. Here's what he says in Luke 14, starting in 25. He says, a large crowd was following Jesus, so he turned around and he said to them. See, this large crowd, and they're following Jesus. Now, I have to explain, because when we say follow in 21st century, like, you can follow someone on Instagram. Like, you can follow someone on Twitter, right? Like, you just click a button, and then when you want to know what they're doing, you take out your phone. Or if you're at dinner with your spouse, you take out your phone. Or pretty much if you're driving in the car, you take out your phone, and you just check and see what's up with the world rather than focusing on people driving. It makes me want to run people off the road when I see them doing that, by the way. That's a very fleshly thing to admit to you right now, but I am. It bothers me a great deal. Put your phones down. Bad things happen. Anyway, but in Jesus' time, to follow someone meant to follow them. It would be like if when I'm done teaching today, and please hear me, I'm not Jesus. I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm just giving you an example. If when I was done teaching today, all right, I go back to my office, I gather my things, I gather my kids, I get in my car, we say we go to a restaurant for lunch. It would be like if you all got together, got in your cars, and came to the same restaurant where I was having lunch, and just sat there and watched me eat. And just sit there. And then when I got up and I decided to go home to my house, you'd all get in your cars and you'd follow me to my house. And just sit there. That is what these people did with Jesus. Now, I get on my knees every day and thank Jesus that you go home. That you do not do that. But why would they not have followed? Think about it. Jesus was feeding them. He was taking care of their needs. He was healing them. He was teaching them. And so they were really excited. They were all following Jesus. But they were following him because of what they were getting out of the experience. It was still all about them. And it's like Jesus senses it. And he's like, okay, I've got to stop this. Like, I've got to make it clear to these people what it really means to follow me. So he turns to them, and then this is what he says. He says, if you want to be my disciple, meaning if you want to follow me, if you want to really understand what it means to put what I'm teaching into practice, if you want me to really change your life, if you want me to be active in you, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. At this point, they all kind of went, what? I'm sorry, what? Huh? Hate, what? He said, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. If you want to follow me, you got to hate your parents. You got to hate your siblings. You got to hate your spouse. And the people were probably very confused, but Jesus kept going. And he doesn't really mean like an emotional hate. What he's saying is by comparison. And what he really means is he's talking about the influence those people have on your life. For most of us, our family, those people who are really close to us, have a tremendous amount of influence. We go to them when we have decisions to make, when we have questions, and we say, what do you think we should do? What do you think I should do? What would you do if you were me? And what Jesus is saying is this. He's like, look, if you want to be my disciple, I have to be so much higher than them when it comes to influence in your life. I have to be so much higher than them that it's like you hate them by comparison. That when something comes up and I say you should do one thing and your mom says you should do another, you do what I say. That when something comes up and your sister wants you to do one thing and your brother wants you to do one thing, but I want you to do something else, you do what I say. What Jesus is basically saying is like, I've got to be in charge of your life. No one else can come before me. No one else can have the influence I'm going to have on your life. Not your parents, not your siblings, not your spouse, not your friends. What I want has to matter more than all of that. In fact, what I want has to matter more than even what you want. That's what he says next. Your father, mother, children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own life. If you want to follow me, you must hate everyone else by comparison, even your own life, which means life preserving is not an option for people who want to follow Jesus. We don't get to say, they're hurting, I could help, but it's going to be inconvenient. We don't get to do that. Jesus is saying, if you really want to be my follower, if you really want to do that, you have to do these things. And you're like, well, Trey, where does he say that? Well, the next line. Here's what he says. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. You just can't do it. He says, if that's not acceptable, if it's not acceptable that I'm going to be in charge, you can't be my follower. You can be my buddy. You can hang out and watch the show, but you can't be my follower. You can't experience the change that's going to come because I have to be your leader. Your parents can't be your leader. Your spouse can't be your leader. Culture can't be your leader. You can't be your leader. I have to be your leader because I can't do what I want to do in you and through you unless I have complete and total control. And we hear that, and we're like, man, why? Why does that matter? Because the point he's trying to make to them and the point he's trying to make to us is that you have to decide once and for all. You have to decide who's going to be in charge of your life. You have to decide who you're going to listen to. You have to decide who has ultimate say. You have to decide who matters because it doesn't matter. It's easy to decide that in the easy moments. You have to decide now because when the hard moments come, when the temptations come, when the opportunities come to get ahead at work by doing something you know Jesus wouldn't want you to do, if you've already made the decision you're not going to do that, it's easier to not do it. But if you haven't made the decision, you probably will. And some of you have. And the reason Jesus wants to stop you from doing that is because we both know it didn't work. It just didn't work. Because it's not about us. Jesus wants to use us. But it's not about us just getting our own way or getting what we want or making things great or just improving ourselves. That's not why Jesus came. And what he means is when he says to hate your life, what he doesn't really mean to feel bad about yourself or to feel sorry for yourself. What it means is to say this, what I want pales in comparison to what Jesus wants. And see, when you think about all that, you understand why we're asking the better question. Well, instead of asking what should I do about me, what should I do around me? Because when you really boil down what Jesus is teaching, is this: the essence of following Jesus is self-denial, not self-improvement. The core of following Jesus isn't to make myself better. It's denying who I am to become more what he wants me to be. And I don't like that. And you don't like that. And we live in America. Nobody in America likes that. Our entire culture, our entire world has been programmed to say your way right away. What do you want? Follow your heart. Trust your gut. Trust your instincts. You be you. You do exactly what you want to do. And man, everything's going to turn out great. And Jesus is like, no. Not at all, actually. In fact, you're really terrible at running your own life. You're kind of the worst at it. Which is kind of the whole reason I came. Because I want to save you from making many of the mistakes you made yourself. Yeah, I'm all about self-improvement. I want to give you a better life, but the better life's got to be on my terms. Because remember, I'm God. I know the future. I know everything. And I know all the things you've tried before, thinking that, oh, this is the thing that's going to make it all work and make it all satisfying and make it all great. And it didn't work. And not only did it not work, you've got scars because of it. So he's saying, if you really want to be my follower, if you really want to be my follower, if you really want to experience what I have for you, you have to understand that following me is about self-denial, not self-improvement. And you cannot follow me. You just can't do it if everything's about you. And if everything is going to come down to, well, Jesus, I know what you say, but here's what I want to do. I know what you think, but this one time. I know what you want, but this is something about me that I just can't change. And Jesus would say, hey, I'm the change master. I'm here to change you. And I can change you, and I want to change you. But you have to put me in charge. And as if he knew, we were asking the questions, and you were asking questions, and we were all still wondering, Jesus, do you really mean this? Here's what he says next. If you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Now, please hear me. For the people Jesus was talking to, the cross was not a fashion accessory. The cross was not something that was cool to wear and cool to put up. It was a symbol of death. And what he was saying is, if you're not willing to lay down your life for me, you cannot be my disciple. You can watch the show. You can be around and see the miracles. You can get fed every now and again. But you cannot be my disciple. And it was at this point in Jesus' ministry when the people who were there for themselves, when the what's in it for me crowd got their stuff and went home. And they didn't come back. And the people that stayed were probably confused and like, Jesus, I don't understand. So are you calling us to martyrdom? Like, is that what you're saying? He's like, no. Don't misunderstand. No. I'm not calling you to that at all. The problem is this: you're so wrong that it's ridiculous. Like, you've been so lied to and so confused. I've got to use these jarring statements. I've got to use these shocking things to kind of get your attention and to kind of bring you up to speed and bring you in to help you understand that following me is better than following yourself. Following my plan for your life is better than following your plan for your life. Living a life in service to me and to other people is so much better than a life lived only in service to yourself. Now, there was another time Jesus was teaching this very same thing, and he kind of expanded a little bit. You know, we think Jesus traveled all the time. He taught a lot of these things over and over and over again. And so in the book of Mark, we have another account of Jesus basically teaching the same thing, and then he adds to it. Mark is the second biography we have of Jesus' life. And what we think about Mark, we think Mark was actually very young when Jesus was on the earth. And we think Mark was really good friends with a guy named Simon Peter. Have you ever read anything about the Bible? Simon Peter was the guy who denied Jesus three times. He was also the guy who walked on water. He was the guy when they came to arrest Jesus, he cut somebody's ear off. Then he was also the guy who preached the very first sermon. So Simon Peter was kind of all over the place. But Jesus really got a hold of his life, and he became an amazing man who did such great things for Jesus. We think Mark was one of his really close friends. And so we think Mark got most of what he knows from Simon Peter. And so Mark kind of picks up on the same topic as Jesus is teaching another time. And here's what Mark says in Mark chapter 8. Starts the same way. Then, calling the crowd to join his disciples. See, this is an invitation. This isn't trying to push you away. This is saying, join me. This is saying, come be a part of this. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Can't be all about you. You just can't. You can't be only about preserving your life. Turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. And here's why. If you try to hang on to your life, if you try to keep it, if everything's about preserving it, if everything's about preserving my convenience, if everything's preserving about my money, if everything's preserving my free time, if everything's preserving what I want, what I want, what I want, if everything's all about me, if you try to hang on to your life, listen to what Jesus says, you will lose it. You'll lose it. It'll be gone. It'll be wasted. But then he says this, if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. He's saying you've got to completely change the way you think. You have been programmed to be life preservers and to say, how can I please me? How can I hold on? And Jesus is saying, no, that's wrong. You've got to change the way you think, but how much can I give away? How much can I use to serve Jesus and to serve other people? And please hear me. This is not a call to martyrdom. It's not saying you got to physically lay down your life. What Jesus is really asking you to do is to say yes before he asks the question. That the posture of your heart and the position in your mind is such that you have said yes before Jesus tells you what to do. That you have said, you are in charge and I'm not. That you understand this truth he's trying to teach, that this is this. That to deny yourself, right? To push yourself away, to deny yourself is to say no to you. So you can say yes to something bigger than you. See, he's inviting you in. He's inviting you to experience something you were created to experience. He's inviting you to experience something that you will never experience if it's all about you. That you will never experience if you live your life solely with the goal of saving and preserving your life. But if you open up and you begin to give some of your life away to say, okay, Jesus, how do you want to use me? How do you want to use my time? How do you want me to use my talents? How do you want me to use my energy? How do you want me to use my money? How do you want me to use these things for you? Jesus, the answer is yes. Before you ask the question, he's saying, That is the secret to the life you've always wanted. Because that's what I created you to ask. So, with all that in mind, what breaks your heart? What is it? And what are you going to do about it? Because if you want to do something about it, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some life. But that's okay, right? We want to give some of our life away because of what Jesus says. He says, whoever devotes themselves to themselves will have nothing but themselves to show for themselves. If it's all about you, his words, complete and total loss. And here's what he knows about you. And here's what you knew about that crowd. And here's why you're here. And here's why you haven't gotten up and walked out. You know deep down that you want more than that. You know that there's more than that. You desire more than that. And that's because you and me and all of us were created to desire and thrive on purpose. Now, for some of you, when I say the word purpose, you perk up. You're like, yes, purpose, meaning. That's what I'm looking for. Others of you, you're like, I would really just like the big house and a jet ski. I'll be really good. Really good. I'm on the internet a lot, and I have a couple of news aggregators on my phone that I'll read. And there's this article, I haven't read it yet, but I've seen it pop up like four times. And the article says this. It says, easiest jobs for the most money. And I haven't read it because it doesn't exist. Like, what are you talking? Like, I was thinking about, like, maybe hand model would be, like, I can't imagine that being hard. I don't know. But right, like, easiest jobs for the most money is an article that human beings read. And I don't understand that, but I learned most people aren't like me, so maybe you're going to go home and Google, easiest jobs for most money, click, and that's going to become your life. You're just going to go through the, I'm going to do that one, I don't know. But here's what I know, and here's what some of you have experienced. When you don't have purpose, when you don't have meaning, and you make it all about you and chasing stuff, it doesn't deliver. It's why you always need new stuff. It's why you get bored with your house. It's why you get bored with the new couch. It's why you get bored at work. It's why when you close that deal and you thought it was going to change everything and you were going to stay home more, be with your kids more, talk with your wife more, it was just about getting that deal done. It didn't happen. It's because you're chasing purpose, you're chasing meaning, but you're chasing it in the wrong ways. And Jesus says you've got to stop. Because if you keep chasing, and if you keep making it all about you, not only will you fail, not only will you go through life frustrated, at the end of your life, at some point, you're going to look back and you're going to go, oh, no. What have I done? What has it all been for? We all know people that have asked that question. And Jesus is saying, you don't have to ask that question. I created you with the answer. I created you for purpose. I created you for meaning. I created you with this innate desire to make a difference. I created you with an innate desire to be used by me to play a role in changing the world. Can you change the entire world? Maybe not. Can you change someone's entire world? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it all comes down to just simply saying, all right, Jesus, you're in charge. I want to give my life away. I want to be used for your purpose. Now, you could decide that it's very easy for me to say this because I'm up here and I get paid to say these things. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to share with you some stories. We wanted to share with you some stories of some people just like you. Some people who decided they were going to give some life away. And some people who have experienced the purpose and the gain that comes from not only worrying about just themselves, but from asking the question, what should I do around me? Jesus, here's my life. Use it to change the world. Check out the video.
If you come to church and you're coming always to get something, then you're missing the point.
I have been blown away by what God has shown me in people and just what He can do in any situation. And you go and you say it's for them, but then God being God just makes it for you too. He blesses you in it. I don't know why anybody wouldn't serve. In this world, there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of me in this world. And I think for other people to see someone just lending a smile, coming up and saying hello if they're standing alone on a Sunday, and hey, is it your first time here? Those are things that are a little bit out of my comfort zone sometimes, but then I see the impact it has on them. And they needed that. They needed someone to come up and show a little Jesus to them.
I mean, the only thing you leave behind is the people you bring to Christ. The only thing that's eternal that you can do on this earth is bringing someone to Christ are participating in that. And whether you're picking up a piece of trash or you're doing a live stream or you're up on the stage worshiping, doing a worship leader, or you're the pastor, there's nothing any of those people can do other than bring somebody to Christ that will be an internal impact on the world.
It's taken me off the sidelines. I'm no longer an attender. I'm a team member. I get the opportunity to help people, if you will, by, you know, being an usher or to help fix things at the church. It gives me the opportunity to provide a better environment, whether it's finding the right seat or fixing the toilet. I get the opportunity to participate.
And then there's the connection of people. We do life together. We pray for each other. If somebody's going through a hard time, if somebody has a special need, we have conversation. So it's family. And I look forward to coming here on Thursdays when I come and help around the office and do admin or whatever. It's family.
I formed a circle in there. And as a young Christian, I learned so much from the other ladies I served with. And it was just a faith builder. And so for me, that experience caused me to reach a point where I can't imagine not serving.
Wellspring is our family. And we look forward to the people that we know and love here. And we look forward to doing life and doing church with them. But it also is the fact that, you know, God connects you with people. He wants you to feel connected. We have faith and we, you know, think about God, but we don't see Him. So He puts us with people that we can, you know, hold a hand or get a hug or just, you know, the people that I see, you know, week to week. I mean, you know, I look forward to seeing him. I look forward to talking to him, and so does Tom, you know, and he loves his guys in the parking lot, and I love my people in the church.
I'm reading some commentary in scripture, and it says the Greek word for worship has the basic idea of service. So the idea that you're serving is actually an act of worship.
I found purpose in happiness. I think to find happiness, you got to find something bigger than you and just dedicate your life to it. Purpose for me, I find here by being a soldier in God's army. I'm one of His guys.
If I could, you know, quit my job and, you know, didn't have to worry about, you know, supporting myself, all I would do would be service stuff because I get so much joy out of it.
It has, you know, enriched my life, and I miss it when I'm not here.
So, it's the craziest thing. When we give our life away, our life gets better. It's almost like Jesus was telling the truth in John 10:10, when He says, "I've come to give you life, but to give you life to the fullest, to give you abundant life, to give you life that overflows." And that life will only be found when you seek not to serve yourself, but to give your life away in service to other people. So, what breaks your heart? Let's get more practical. Who's doing something about that? And how can you help? What can you do? Because whatever it is, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you freedom. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you something. Can you leave here today and decide, you know what, it's worth it? Can you embrace what Jesus taught, that whoever devotes themselves to themselves will have nothing but themselves to show for themselves? And it can't be all about you. But we can begin to get this right, if we can begin to understand what Jesus is saying, if we can begin to say yes before He asks the question, if we can begin to give away some of ourselves in service to other people, watch what happens. If you devote yourself to more than yourself, you will have more than yourself to show for yourself. That is what waits for you today. That's what Jesus offers if you want to be his follower. Now, we always like to make it easy for you to follow. And we're not done with this series. We're going to finish next week, and I still want you to wrestle with the big pictures of what breaks your heart. But I wanted to give you a chance today to put this message into practice right now. To give some life away right now. You probably came in and you noticed that our lobby was all set up with every serving opportunity we have at the church. Every single one that exists. My challenge to you today, because I'm going to pray and you're going to leave, is on your way out, stop and have some conversations. Ask God today, all right, where do you want me to give some life away? Where can I give back to you? Because here's what I know, and you know, but you won't say it to the people around you, but I know that you lay in bed at night and you want what those people on that screen had. You want it. You want that joy. You want to know you're making a difference. You want to know that God's using you, and you don't know how to do it. I'm telling you, the first step begins right now. Give some of your life away. Have some conversations. And look, we make it super easy. If you go out there and have a conversation, you're not even giving your life away. You're giving away one Sunday. We do these things called test drives. You sign up to take a test drive. It's exactly what it sounds like. You try out the serving opportunity for one weekend. And then when it's over, you don't have a pushy salesman trying to close you. We're like, hey, how'd you like it? And if it's a fit, we sign you up and you start serving. If it's not a fit, we try to figure out somewhere else for you to go. Because we believe every person in this room, every person that attends Wellspring, has a role to play in God's story and what he's doing here. And it's my job, it's the staff's job to help plug you in so that you can begin giving some life away and you can begin to experience that abundant life that Jesus came to give you. And I know some of you are like me, you're a little socially averse. It's not really your deal. So walking out to a mass of people and standing in line to talk to someone at a table gives you a panic attack. I understand that. You have a connection card in the seat back in front of you. Take out the connection card, fill it out, check a couple of boxes where you're interested. You can drop it in the boxes on the way out. You too can sign up. If you want to go home and think about it, you can sign up online. But I'm telling you, don't let today end. I'm going to say don't leave this building. Because if you leave, you won't do it. Don't leave this building without at least taking a step to give some life away. To say this year, 2016, it's not going to just be about me. It's going to be about what I should do around me and what God wants to do through me, because he does. You were created for purpose. You were planned for purpose. You've been gifted for purpose. God has created you unique. You are different than everybody else on the planet. And he has a unique role just for you. And he's been orchestrating time and events to get you here right now for you to hear this truth. And now it's up to you. If you want to follow him, you have to give some life away. Because if you devote yourself to more than yourself, you will have more than yourself to show for yourself. And that's what I want for you. That's what Jesus wants for you. For when you're gone, your legacy lives on. Not because of what you did for you, but what God did through you. Let me pray for you. Father, we just love you so much. And we are so honored that you came to save us, you came to rescue us, and then you choose to use us. Father, I pray you drown out the distractions, you drown out all the excuses today. May we say yes. May we say we want to be your follower, and we want to give some life away. We don't want to preserve it. We want to give it. We want to see you use it. Maybe not to change the whole world, but to change someone's world, Father. We want to be a part of that. And we're ready today. See you in your son's name.